Good morning. It is time to get up with TB12's BFF. Is the man he calls Jules going to be the next gem to land in Tampa Bay? There's reason to think he will. Then, Todd Gurley out of L.A. What is his next move? And how did the Rams go from first to worst quite this fast? Plus, one of our guys says Derrick Henry shouldn't even think of signing his franchise tag. Could that be the holdout that changes the NFL season? You've got all of those questions. We've got all of the answers as we get up with you, starting right now. I'm Greeny. I'm in Bristol again today and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. There's a lot of football news out there and we have it for you. Orlovsky and Marcus Spears are ready to go, but Shefty will be up first because Tom Brady's deal with the Bucks still not official. It should be that much closer to completion after the quarterback underwent the physical with a mutually agreed upon doctor in New York City yesterday. The coronavirus has prevented Brady and, of course, other free agents from meeting with teams in person and taking physicals with team physicians. So that's one part of the story. Here's another really interesting one. Deion Sanders tweeted the following, and Julian Edelman liked the tweet from primetime, and you can see it there, suggesting that Julian Edelman should join his former quarterback and best friend in Tampa. I'll read it with you. If Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers, can Julian Edelman go too? That's like Jordan without Scottie Pippen, peanut butter without the jelly, and iced tea without sugar. So those are the thoughts of Deion Sanders, and I will mention that Julian Edelman himself liked the tweet, and that's sort of what we have as the currency of conversation these days. There's Adam Schefter, our insider extraordinaire. I'll get to that tweet in a second, but first off, Schefty, what is the latest on Brady and this deal finally being final?
Greeny, it's on track to being done. I'd be surprised if we didn't get some sort of announcement today from Tom Brady himself on his social media pages about becoming a Buccaneer. It's taken all week long to get to this point. We're living in a different time. There are different obstacles that every player and every team must go through before a contract is finalized. It is no different for the great Tom Brady, but he's gone through the physical. I believe the numbers have basically been all but ironed out. So whatever they're doing, whatever remains, it may just be that Tom Brady wants to announce this deal when he's ready, the way he wants to do it. And then we will have the official proclamation that TB is going to be in TB this year, Tom Brady in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers.
I like it. And look, he has gotten very fond of posting things on social media, so we can keep a close eye on that. Now let me go back to the other idea. Julian Edelman liked the idea of joining Tom Brady in Tampa. So the question is, if they wanted to make that happen, how would that happen, Shefty? Does that feel like a real possibility?
Well, first of all, let's not confuse likes on Twitter pages for journalism in 2020. That's number one. Number two, if you want to go that way, the Patriots would have to decide, okay, we are tearing this down and we are rebuilding and we're going to go trade away a guy in Julian Edelman in the last year of his contract with a base salary of just over $3 million. So if the Patriots wanted to get compensation back, sure, they could try to do that. There haven't been any hints or ideas or suggestions that that's going to happen. And, of course, Julian Edelman, I'm sure, would like to join his friend in Tampa Bay. Who wouldn't? Warm weather, no state income tax. Tom Brady's there. It's exactly why players have been reaching out to the Buccaneers over the last 48 to 72 hours since the news broke that they, too, would like to be in Tampa Bay. I'd like to be in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady at this point in time. I'm quarantined in my house. What do you want me to do at this point in time? That's the way it sort of goes. And so we have a situation here where we can continue to look at players who want to go there. I just don't know how realistic it is. Maybe it's something as simple, Greeny, as Julian Edelman liked the compliment that Deion Sanders was paying him, comparing him to Scottie Pippen and talking about how important he's been to a franchise dynasty through the years.
I'm with you, but it's sort of fun to consider it the other way. Let's talk about one that probably could happen a lot more easily. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that because there are different kinds of hurdles to jump. That is, of course, Antonio Brown. We know how much those two seem to like being together for the incredibly short period of time they were, meaning Tom Brady and Antonio Brown. What would have to happen for Brown to be able to play in Tampa this year?
Well, the biggest thing is that the NFL still has not concluded its investigation of Antonio Brown. And frankly, the NFL has much bigger matters right now to worry about than Antonio Brown and how long he's going to miss. And I think there still will be discipline handed down to Antonio Brown, and it may be a while before he's playing. But I think teams have known that Tom Brady would like Antonio Brown to go where he is next season. Now, whether the Buccaneers would want to do that is another question. I think Tom Brady has that in his mind, that he'd like to play with Antonio Brown. Loved having him as a teammate, was disappointed when New England parted ways with him this past season. It always will remain out there, but I think the biggest issue facing Antonio Brown is the discipline that awaits him from the NFL. The NFL is not through with him, not by a long stretch of the imagination, and he still could be facing a potential suspension, a lengthy suspension, from the NFL before he's even allowed to play again this season.
All right, Chefty, terrific. Stay with me a minute here. I'm coming back to you on something else in a second, but let me get Dan and Swagoo into the conversation after we talk about the Rams, who yesterday released running back Todd Gurley, bringing an end to a dramatic fall in L.A. for the 2017 NFL Offensive Player of the Year. The Rams had made Gurley the highest-paid running back in NFL history with a four-year extension prior to the 2018 season. We will get to all of that in a minute as we sort of fly by the seat of our pants here a little bit. I've got Dan and Marcus ready, and we did want to get commentary from you two guys on the notion of Julian Edelman. And Dan, in our meeting this morning, which we conducted telephonically, you were telling us that there is not only does Brady obviously love having Edelman to throw to, but there'd be another benefit of having him in Tampa with all his new teammates.
Become a coach on the field for every other wide receiver. And that communication that he can give those other receivers, you can't put value on that, Greening. You can't put value on Edelman walking up to a Mike Evans and going, hey, when you run this route, I know Tom likes when you do this. When you have a go route, I know Tom loved when receivers did this. And it's even more paramount in this offseason, right? Because all the uniqueness tied to this offseason and the time that guys are going to be able to spend with each other to bring in a guy like Julian Edelman that knows Tom Brady and Tom Brady knows him, you are bringing such an asset into your organization for not just the quarterback, but for everybody else. You get basically an extension of Tom Brady at the wide receiver position. So for Jason Light in Tampa Bay, this would be a no-brainer because you're committed to now, right? Like you've gone all in for right now. If you can get Edelman for a mid-round pick, and I'm not a front office guy, I don't know what, but if you can do that, That would be an absolute no-brainer and would completely improve your football team.
To Shefty's point, that would probably require the Patriots to decide they're just tearing the whole thing down and we don't have any sense they're going to do that. Swagoo, as far as either getting someone like Edelman or Antonio Brown, do you feel like they need that? They've got obviously two top-flight wide receivers who were very productive when Jameis was there last year. Do you think they need another weapon?
Well, I know it's against the grain to say that you don't want to add talent, and obviously adding both of those guys would bring some sort of value, especially if Tom Brady is pushing for one or the other one of those guys to come. I don't, though, G. I think going to Tampa right now with what they have on the table, with who's there, with Godwin and obviously Mike Evans and both of those tight ends, I think they can have a lot of success with where they are. But Dan, to Dan's point, and I agree with him, the uniqueness of this offseason may create something where you want to have a guy in the building that already has rapport with Tom Brady to have at least something going as this season gets off to a start. But I just look, Tom Brady picked Tampa Bay because of what was already there. I don't know if you add anything and possibly mess up that chemistry.
That seems right. All right, let me get back to what we were talking about a moment ago. And I told you Todd Gurley was released yesterday. This is a guy who was recently, as 2 years ago, felt like a legit candidate for MVP. Instead, there's been a significant fall off. And you see on Twitter, he reacted to the news with sort of an amusing way, tweeting, damn, I got fired on my day off. And so let me go back to Shefty here. Adam Schefter, what does the future look like now for Todd Gurley, who remarkably is still only 25 years old? What is the next move for him?
Well, Greening, let me say this. The Los Angeles Rams had spent the last few weeks shopping Todd Gurley around the league, and there was not a lot of interest in him. Teams did not want to take on that contract with his injury history at this point in time. But there were two teams that were particularly interested in Todd Gurley during that process. The first was the Atlanta Falcons. And that makes sense. When you look at where Todd Gurley played college football, Georgia. When you look at what the Falcons have done this offseason, they got rid of Devonta Freeman. And so the Falcons would be one team that makes some sense for Todd Gurley as he becomes a free agent. Now, the other team that was interested in Todd Gurley, the Miami Dolphins, who back in the 2015 draft were planning to take him with the 14th overall pick before the Rams took him, four slots ahead of them at number 10. Dolphins wound up taking Devontae Parker. Gurley went to the Rams, and Gurley is now a free agent. Miami would be a potential landing spot. And I also would say Tampa Bay might wind up taking a look as well. That would not be a shock as well. And you'll start to see the gravitational force, the gravitational pull of Tom Brady. The Rams already are paying Gurley about $5.5 million for the upcoming season. Maybe he's willing to take a little bit less to go play in Tampa. Again, no state income tax, warm weather, Tom Brady, the trifecta. So those are the teams I think that could wind up taking a look at Todd Gurley.
All right, so well done. Shefty, so good to see you. Thank you so much, my man. And we will check in Thank with you. You as we go. Let me get the guys in for quick thoughts on that as well. And Marcus, I'll start with you. Do you feel there's a cautionary tale here? The Rams redid Gurley's deal at a time when they didn't have to, and now here they are in all kinds of salary cap trouble and more. What do you think is the sort of the big picture lesson that we get from this Todd Gurley situation?
Gee, this will not bode well for running backs. Obviously, this is one of those other scenarios that front offices can use to tell running backs and their agency, this is why we don't do this. I think it's a unique case, though. Todd Gurley was more than just a running back for the Rams, and he was paid and compensated that way. I think people have to keep in mind, Todd Gurley was not just to hand the ball off in the backfield and you go do your thing. He was in the passing game, highly involved in a lot of ways offensively, and I think that's where the contract came from. So for all you running backs out there, if you want to see a contract like this, you better be more than a guy that just turns around and hands the ball off. I guarantee you Saquon Barkley will get a big deal and Christian McCaffrey will get a big deal because they are more than a running back.
Dan, what do you think? Who should go out? Should Gurley, is he going to be a difference maker somewhere? Should some team be out there trying to sign him desperately?
Oh, absolutely, Greeny. Now, he's not going to be your number one. He's not going to be your bell cow. But this guy's 2 years removed from 1,200 yards and 17 touchdowns. And even last year, Greeny, 850 yards and 12 touchdowns. So if you're looking, if you're a team like, I mean, look at the NFC North. The Packers, the Bears, the Lions, all of them should be interested in Todd Gurley, especially with the Packers and his familiarity to that system. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like Shefty said, the Seattle Seahawks, he can still come in and give you value, not only in your run game, but to Marcus's point, your pass game. And Greeny, I've been with Todd Gurley in the locker room as a teammate. He's an outstanding teammate in the locker room. So he will bring value to an organization quickly.
All right. There continues to be huge news from around the National Football League, and there will be more. Guys, stay with me. They're with me all morning long as we're just getting started on Get Up. As we continue, more from social media. Be careful what you like. Joe Burrow liked a tweet that got people talking from Cincinnati to Miami. Is something afoot? We'll get to it. And then, even if the Bucs don't add Julian Edelman, Tom Brady has weapons on his offense. We'll tell you why he will use all of them well as we get up with you on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Get Up is brought to you by Corona Premier. Lower carbs, lower calories, 100% Corona. And we have breaking news into our newsroom here at ESPN. Just moments ago, we were telling you that Todd Gurley had been released by the Los Angeles Rams yesterday. We were literally just having that conversation, and his being a free agent did not last long. We have news this morning on his destination. And let's go back to Adam Schefter. Schefty, it looks like he's going to Atlanta. What can you tell us?
Greeny, moments ago, Jordan Schultz, who also works at ESPN, reported that Todd Gurley is signing a one-year deal with the Falcons. We told you in the previous segment that the two teams that expressed the most interest in Todd Gurley when the Rams were shopping him were the Falcons and Dolphins. And so Todd Gurley opts to go home where he played college football at Georgia. The Falcons needed a running back to help replace Devonta Freeman. And so the deal is done. Todd Gurley going to the Atlanta Falcons. Picture that one. So Todd Gurley, Julio Jones on the same offense. They're going to try to replace some of the production that they lost with Austin Hooper, but they haven't added running back there now in Atlanta. Todd Gurley is going back to Georgia.
I tell you, the NFC South becoming just a fascinating place with Brady going to Tampa Bay and whatever other moves they may make. And now here the Falcons are adding a piece who, if healthy, is obviously a huge difference maker. And I'll repeat, he's only 25 years old. And we all know New Orleans has been really good. So there's Shefty with the very latest. Again, it's a one-year deal for Todd Gurley in Atlanta. Well, let me bring back Swagoo and Dan. And Marcus, I'll start with you. We look at New Orleans and Tampa as the teams to beat. What are the Falcons now? They obviously have Matt Ryan, they have Julio Jones, and they add Todd Gurley.
Gee, it's an anomaly. Listen, the Falcons beat the Saints last year. I want people to remember that. This is a team that had a plethora of talent. And adding in Todd Gurley to what they have offensively, we thought Atlanta would be a good team because of Matt Ryan, because of Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley over there. So now you add in Todd Gurley, who previously talked about him being more than just a running back out of the backfield. He's another weapon for Matt Ryan. Obviously, Atlanta needs to take a step forward from where they were last year. I like the signing. I really do. I like the fact that they got a guy that's familiar with the area. He's going to play in front of his home fans. I was covering Todd Gurley when he was at the University of Georgia. I am sure he is ecstatic to be back and playing with the Atlanta Falcons. This may be at the end of next season, this may be a big move we sitting here talking about months from now.
Dan Orlovsky, talk about fit. Let's talk about what specifically you can see him bringing to that offense with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, first of all, Gurley still is a stretch zone, put his foot in the ground and go type of tailback, and that's a lot of what Atlanta still likes to do, even past their Kyle Shanahan time as their play caller. So this is a good fit for this offense. The big step forward for this offense, now that Gurley's there, is those offensive linemen understanding how he runs as a running back, and then him as a running back, because they're a young offensive line, seeing how they block. That zone scheme is very much a feel thing. We often talk about football with just quarterbacks and feel. So it'll be important for them to understand and feel each other when it comes to that blocking scheme. But Gurley will understand how their run scheme will fit together. Greeny, the Falcons are making some moves now. Like, don't forget, yes, they lost Austin Hooper, but they added Hayden Hurst. They brought Dante Fowler over to their defensive line as well. So the NFC South is becoming a very exciting division.
No question about it. You saw a nice note there from Hembo on your screen. They were third to worst in rushing in the National Football League last year. Maybe Todd Gurley makes a big difference there. All right, that's our breaking news this morning. Todd Gurley to Atlanta. Elsewhere, the Dolphins have spent nearly $110 million guaranteed dollars in free agency already this offseason. A big part of it is Byron Jones, $57 million guaranteed for the corner, third most given to any free agent so far this offseason. They also bring in a linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, staying in the division. He had 35 pressures last year, 11 more than any Dolphins player did. Miami was last in the league in pressure percentage a year ago. And defensive end Shaq Lawson will also boost the Dolphins' defense that ranked last in the NFL in opponents' QBR and sacks last year. He had a career-high 6.5 sacks last season. Now, the question remains in Miami, what are they going to do about the quarterback position? And if we can once again look at what people are doing on social media, on Joe Burrow's Twitter page, if you look at which tweets he liked this tweet from Bleacher Report Gridiron running through some of the Dolphins' moves from this offseason. So Shefty sort of scolded us this morning for paying too much attention to that stuff. But listen, it is what it is. Here's Jeff Darlington, our NFL insider. You live in Miami. You covered that team.
I'm here for it.
It is what it is, right? He's 21 years old and he's liking posts on social media. Let's talk about the Dolphins piece of this. There are stories that suggest that they like Burrow. They'd have to go up to number one to get him. They've been looking at Tua Tagovailoa for a very long time. What do we know about the way the Dolphins, who currently sit at number 5 in the draft, are approaching the quarterback situation?
Well, to be very clear, Greeny, I can tell you that the Dolphins love Joe Burrow. They really do. But that's like saying I love Maseratis. It's still a matter of what I'm willing to pay for something, what I can afford to pay for something, knowing that there's a lot of other things I should be buying instead. The Dolphins have to answer that question. They have 3 first-round picks. Are they willing to give all of that up to go and get Burrow? And then in that vein, are the Bengals willing to take three first-round picks for Burrow. So certainly, it's something that we can continue to keep an eye on. And yeah, I'm sure Joe Burrow would love the opportunity to play for a building team in South Florida. That, too, makes a lot of sense. But again, it still comes back to get a deal, you got to have two sides. And to that point, it does at least feel like the Dolphins, in some capacity, to get Tua or Burrow, will have to make a move, especially with the Chargers at six, sitting right behind them, probably looking potentially at that spot with the Lions at number three to have to move in there for Tua. And then, Greeny, if you're going to give up a lot to get to number three to get Tua, maybe you just see if you can get all the way up to number one and get the guy that you truly want. So the Dolphins definitely have a lot to weigh on their minds these coming months.
No doubt. Jeff Darlington, thank you very much. One quick comment here from Orlovsky and Spears. And Dan, you've been looking at Joe Burrow and you love it. If they offered you three first-round picks for the right to draft Joe Burrow, if you're Cincinnati, would you take it?
No, Greeny. Let me make myself very clear. No. The most important person in an organization is the head coach until you find the quarterback. I don't care what Miami offers me. I'm not giving up the chance to draft Joe Burrow number one. Three first-round picks we saw with Cleveland recently and Minnesota recently. I don't see them winning the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes was traded up for, and he changed the Chiefs organization. I'm not giving up Joe Burrow if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals.
Swagoo, what do you think? How about Tua? They're not going to be able to sit still at number five and get him either. So what do you think the Dolphins need to do here?
Trade those two or three first-round picks and go up and get Joe Burrow. Listen, three first-round picks would be very enticing to the Cincinnati Bengals, who have more holes to fill. Obviously, Joe Burrow has been their guy, the catalyst, and everybody knows he's going number one. But, Dan, if somebody got on the phone and said, we will give you three first-round picks to come up and get your number one with other quarterbacks in this draft, I think I'd do it.
The top of the draft is going to be very interesting, at minimum at number three and maybe all the way to number one. Guys, stay with me. We're just getting started. As we continue, we've talked a lot about Dak getting franchised. Well, the Titans have franchised Derrick Henry, and one of our guys thinks he shouldn't even consider signing it. Could that be the holdout that changes the NFL season? We'll talk about that after we try to answer this. Dominique is going to join us, and he will try to answer from Sneaky Hembo. Which quarterback threw the most touchdowns in a season under Bruce Arians as head coach or offensive coordinator? That's the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag, done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We are back on Get Up, and with Sneaky Hembo here, it is a delight for me to bring back Dominique Foxworth. It has been much too long since we have seen Neek, and there he is, and Hembo has called you out. Here's the question. Which quarterback has thrown the most touchdowns in a season when Bruce Arians was either his head coach or offensive coordinator?
Man, he's really coached the who's who of quarterbacks, but I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger when he was the coordinator there with the Steelers. Maybe, or Carson Palmer, what I was going to say, who I was really thinking.
I wasn't sure if you'd be able to see the answer or not, which is Carson Palmer. Brady has thrown that many four times in his career. And that, of course, brings us to Tom Brady. As the world knows, he is on his way to Tampa Bay. The deal is still not officially done, but it should be that much closer to completion after the quarterback underwent a physical with a mutually agreed upon doctor in New York yesterday. The coronavirus, as we all know, is preventing Brady and other free agents from meetings with teams in person and thus taking physicals with team physicians. But Shefty told us right off the top that this feels as though it is essentially done, and we're just waiting for Brady himself to post news that it is all officially done. So, Nick, I've not had a chance to talk to you. I want to ask you this question. What is the ceiling in your mind for Brady and the Bucs this year? Specifically, I'd like to know, do you think this is a team that could go to the Super Bowl?
I think they absolutely could go to the Super Bowl. We saw what Tom Brady looked like when he had one good receiver. He's going to have two good receivers, a very good defense that I'm sure will be relieved not to have to defend a short field because of turnovers this year. I think the sky's the limit for this team. They can certainly win the NFC. I'm not sure that they'll be the favorites necessarily, but I wouldn't be surprised if they win that division and end up facing Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, which will give us a matchup of, ironically, or not ironically, but interestingly, two of the best young offensive coordinators in football, and Eric Bieniemy and Byron Leftwich, who is now entrusted with the GOAT. So I'm looking forward to this season for Brady and most of all for Byron Leftwich to see what he can do with that offense down there.
Very quickly, we opened the show this morning talking about the possibility of bringing another piece in there. We hear a lot of guys want to go down to Tampa and play with him. Julian Edelman, of course, long his favorite receiver. Maybe Antonio Brown. You were a defensive back. Give me a sense of what it would be like. Do you think that they need to add one or those guys or a piece like those?
They absolutely don't need to, but if I had to choose between those two, it's crazy. It may sound crazy because Antonio Brown is much better than Julian Edelman, but I'd rather have Julian Edelman in that situation. I'm not sure that AB is worth the headache at this point, and we're not even sure if he can play right away. So I think Edelman is the guy to come down there. I know Dan earlier today talked about how Edelman is a guy who could help teach the offense to the rest of the guys, which is important in this offseason that we're not sure what's going to happen. And he's a trusted guy, and I'm not sure that he would necessarily be as interested in getting his numbers in the same way that you would expect a guy like AB would. I don't think that Tom Brady is a big AB fan as everyone seems to think he is. He was when he didn't have receivers. It was a conditional love. Now he has two number one caliber receivers. It's not unconditional love what he has for AB.
That is well put. Now, speaking of unconditional love, you are the president of Dak Prescott's fan club. I want you to hear something Stephen A. Smith said earlier this week about the notion of Dak getting the franchise tag and what he should do now. This was Stephen A.
If I were Dak Prescott, my initial response is that I would plan on sitting out the season. You're not making a long-term commitment to me. Essentially, this is tantamount to a one-year deal. You're asking me to go out there and play on a one-year deal after the years of service that I've given you. 4 years, never missed a game, missed one practice, that made back page news, considering this dysfunctional environment that historically has been the Dallas Cowboys. The quarterback position for America's team is not just about throwing the football. It's about being that quintessential leader.
So there you hear it. Dominique, he is saying that Dak Prescott should be prepared to sit out the season. What do you think?
You know how I feel about Dak Prescott, so I would completely support him if that's what he did. But given the position that he's in, I would say he shouldn't sit out. He should keep balling. He's gotten better every year and keep doing that, because if he plays this year on the franchise, I would refuse to sign an extension and play a following year on the franchise and then hit the open market. I know that's a long way away and there's a lot of ifs and kind of maybes, but Dak Prescott has stayed healthy. You can't bet on that in this sport, but I would count on him. If I were him, I would bet on myself to try to get to true free agency, because the money that he could make in true free agency and the opportunity to pick where he wants to go, it'd be the first time since choosing what school you go to get an opportunity to pick where you want, where you can go. And I think Dak would get big bucks if he was on the free agent market and get to go to a team that he felt like maybe respected him and appreciated his talents more than it seems Dallas is showing right now.
If you look at the example, we've seen this happen once before, and it's Kirk Cousins, and he is a guy who has made so much money. It's unimaginable. And Dak, I think at this point, is trending towards being much more accomplished at a similar circumstance than Cousins was. So that is taking a risk, though. If they offer you a little bit less, a little bird in the hand there, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. All right, while we have you, Neek, I want to do something that hopefully will make all of us feel very familiar. Roll the open.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is everybody's favorite. I will ask a series of provocative questions to Dominique Foxworth, and he will answer them directly whether he wants to or not. And the first one is very simple. Who should be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots when the next season begins?
Okay, I know that this might be a little bit on the limb, and people might think Jacoby Brissett returning home to New England would be good, but I want Cam Newton. I think that Bill Belichick would love the opportunity. You remember when he brought in Tim Tebow to try to add him to the offense? I think Bill Belichick is an old school football guy, and he would love the opportunity of working with someone who has the ability to throw and run like Cam Newton. I could imagine if he could get that trade done on the contract that Cam Newton has, which is extremely reasonable, and Cam Newton can stay healthy, I think they immediately will be considered a contender once again. I don't think there's any other quarterback that you can bring in. There's not Jared Stidham and Jacoby Brissett or Andy Dalton. There's no other quarterback that you could bring in that gives as high a ceiling as Cam Newton and a Bill Belichick led team.
That'd be interesting if they're willing to wait that one out. It is possible Newton winds up getting released by the Panthers, so they may not have to give up anything to get him at all. All right, another quarterback situation. We all know what's going on in Chicago. They have Mitchell Trubisky. They acquire Nick Foles. So the question, who will be Chicago's starting quarterback week 8 of next season?
These questions are getting a little easy. Rusty or something, Greedy? I feel like this is obvious. You're going with Nick Foles. I think Mitchell Trubisky, they're kind of out on Mitchell Trubisky there. You don't go get Nick Foles unless you plan on bringing him in. He has experience with Matt Nagy, and I think they brought him in order to take this job. I think anyone who's saying that he's coming in there to compete, while I think that's true, maybe Mitchell could win the job back, but I think right now, Nick Foles is the front runner. The only way that I see Mitchell Trubisky being the starter of this team midway through the season or towards the end of the season is if something happens to Nick Foles, and he has had some injury issues, especially recently coming off that broken clavicle. I imagine something like that could happen, but that's the only way I imagine Mitchell Trubisky getting his starting job back, because I think it's Nick Foles to lose at this point.
All right, I'm going to remember the way you questioned that question midway through this season when Mitchell Trubisky is stunning the world and playing great. Next one, last one for you here. Derrick Henry got the franchise tag in Tennessee. What would you advise him to do about it?
Yeah, I think Derrick Henry shouldn't show up. What Stephen A. was saying about Dak, I think, is even more true for Derrick Henry and most running backs. Like, it feels like the running backs need to build a union inside the union where they can all collectively flex their muscle, because what's happening to them is unfair. And what's happening to Derrick Henry is not fair. He is the best player on that offense and one of the best players in this league. And they are obviously positioning themselves to franchise him this year and maybe franchise him again next year and then send him out on the open market. I imagine what he should do is go into the Le'Veon Bell playbook and just not show up. Not show up. That's not a holdout. Just don't sign your franchise tag and force them to release you or trade you or something at the end of this season. Because I think coming off what he did in the playoffs last year, any team who is close to winning a Super Bowl, I think they'd be more than willing to overpay Derrick Henry for a couple of seasons rather than him try to wait it out and hope that the Titans pay him, because they aren't going to pay him.
All right, Dominic, that's well done. Stay with me. I have some breaking news here, and this is not a surprise, but it is indeed now official. Breaking news into our newsroom at ESPN. Tom Brady is officially a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. We had been waiting for things to happen that felt essentially like a formality or a series of formalities. Those things have now been done. Jeff Darlington has been all over this story from the very beginning. Jeff, what can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you, Greeny, that Tom Brady took a physical in New York City yesterday, where he is currently residing before he makes his move down to Tampa Bay, and everything is full go. The contract is signed. Tom Brady now officially a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, so those had been the holdups. It was just a matter of the physical. Were there any issues in working out the deal? Because this is such an unusual offseason. Was it as simple as just finding some way to get a physical done under these extraordinary circumstances?
Right. And all along, the Bucs and Brady were on the same page as far as everything that I was understanding the whole time. There was no real hang up in terms of the contract itself. It was about finding a doctor. The Bucs would have preferred to use one of their doctors, but certainly understanding the situation and really wanting to get this formalized, not push it too far down the road, they found someone they could both agree upon. Again, there was no tension in that regard at all. And when it came to the contract itself, quite frankly, it was pretty easy for everybody to get done. Brady wasn't trying to leverage a bunch of teams to try to drive up the price. It was pretty clear and simple. And in fact, the original offer that came through was pretty close, from what I understand, and we'll get you some numbers soon, to what he ended up signing. So a situation where everybody was on the same page this whole time. For Tom Brady, it was ultimately about getting some sunshine and throwing some touchdowns.
And so it is a done deal. Tom Brady is officially a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. And we will have one of his new teammates, officially one of his new teammates, live with us in a moment to react. What will it be like to have TB in TB? We'll ask that question next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
After 20 years, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 rings, Tom Brady posted his goodbye.
This is it for him, man. Thanks for a hell of a run.
Tom Brady is going to wind up as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Wrap your mind around that one.
When you get yourself in a situation like this, you know, this is a great opportunity for us to get to. We're going to be in it at the end. You know, there's no team that's going to run away from us.
It is official. As of this morning, Tom Brady, in just the last few minutes, has posted on his social media that he is officially signed his deal and is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, which means as I welcome linebacker Lavonte David in, I can say, Lavonte, you officially have a new teammate, and he's reasonably well known. Thank you very much for taking a couple of minutes with us here. So take us back to that moment when you first heard that Tom Brady was going to be joining your team. What was your first reaction?
Oh, honestly, I didn't want to believe it until I actually seen it. You know, I had a lot of people hit me up, a lot of teammates hit me up saying, you know, God, I think you about to get Tom Brady. I'm like, I'm going to wait till the official news. And that's the time kept getting closer and closer, and I kept hearing it. And then when it actually broke, man, I was excited. You know, I'm glad to have a guy like an icon like Tom Brady to join us down in Tampa Bay, man. And it's going to be exciting times, man. It's going to be a great year for sure.
What specifically does someone like him bring? We understand, obviously, all that he's accomplished. What specifically does bringing someone like him into your organization, do you believe? What specifically does that do?
Obviously, winning. He knows how to win. And, you know, the past whatever years, you know, Tampa we haven't been that type of team to be winning, you know, for whatever it may be. But we have a guy who can get us over that hump, you know, every other year. You know, we be right there, but we never find a way to get it done. You know, so, you know, this guy right here who knows how to get it done, he can help us get over that edge with all the talent that he has around him and the guys that we got that we bringing back, the young nucleus that we have coming back. So I can tell you for sure everybody's excited to get it going.
You get to play with him now, and we have been doing some reporting that suggests there are a lot of players around the league who are interested in coming to Tampa to play there now with Tom Brady at quarterback. What do you know about that? What kinds of conversations have you had with other players?
I haven't had any really conversations with anybody much, but, you know, I could tell you, you know, if we do bring anybody else in, you know, they come into a great locker room. You know, we have a great group of guys that, you know, that buy into whatever the coaches is, you know, preaching and telling us. And, you know, from the staff down to the players, man, everybody's, you know, upbeat, everybody's happy, you know, everybody's expectations high. And we know the type of team we can have. And if you're willing to join, man, you know, we can welcome you with open arms if everything work out for sure.
Let me pick up on that. You say expectations are high. What are your expectations for the Bucs this year?
Yeah, me personally, you know, coming from last year, you know, how we ended the season, you know, our expectations were high already. You know, coming in, you know, no matter who we had at, you know, with the quarterback situation, no matter who we had at quarterback, I know our expectations were how we was, you know, going to fight to get into the playoffs this year. And even now, you know, we bring Tom Brady in, those expectations even got even more higher, you know, so everybody's going to be gunning for us, and everybody's going to try to prove, you know, try to prove a point. But we're going to have a point to prove ourselves. So me personally, I'm going to take some on myself, you know, get everybody ready to get us going to, you know, basically shut a lot of people up because we still have a lot of doubters out there.
And then finally, I would mention that also this morning, Todd Gurley has agreed to terms on a deal with the Atlanta Falcons. So you have the Saints, who've been very good for a while. Yeah. Your team adds Tom Brady. Gurley goes to Atlanta. Who's the team to beat right now in the NFC South?
This division just keep getting better and better, man. You know, it's already been tough before, but add Todd Gurley to the Falcons, you know, is making it even more challenging. And already got the Saints, you already got the Panthers, who are a great football team. So, you know, obviously, you know, I'm gonna be biased and say, you know, we could definitely run the table, but obviously, you know, the Saints been winning the division the past whatever year, so they the team to beat right now. So we just got to get to work and hopefully be at the top at the end of the season.
Fair enough. Well, listen, Levante, it feels like congratulations are the appropriate sentiment. Thank you very much for doing this. You stay safe, all right? And we will see you soon back on a football field as soon as we possibly can. Thank you very much for doing this morning. And I'll mention that we will continue to cover football for you all day long here on ESPN. Coming up after we wrap up, Get Up, we'll have First Take, then SportsCenter comes on, then NFL Live with all the latest from what continues to be a very busy week. The Jump is back with up-to-the-minute NBA news. SportsCenter comes back at 6 Eastern, then a primetime NFL free agency special at 9, and cap it all off with SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt at 11 Eastern. So again, we will be here for you with all the sports news all day long on ESPN. Then there's this. Darius Slay on his way out of Detroit. You know they've agreed to trade him to the Eagles for a couple of draft picks. Slay spoke with the Mitch Albom Show on WJR 760 in Detroit about his experience playing for Matt Patricia. Here's what he said.
He told me I wasn't elite. He told me I had no business working out with Richard Sherman and Tlaib because I wasn't elite. And those are guys are elite category, and I was just good. But I ain't had that much respect for Matty P that much as a person because, you know, it was hard for me to play for him.
So that was an interesting thing to hear. I've got Orlowski and Swagoo back with me, and I was just looking up a quick number here, and that is that Matt Patricia in his two seasons is 9-22-1. The Lions fired Jim Caldwell after consecutive 9-7 years. So with that as the backdrop, Dan Orlowski, what's your reaction to what we heard there from Darius Slay?
Yeah, the Lions organization has a problem, Greeny. And you know that takes a lot for me to say. I was with Jim Caldwell and some really good, solid football teams in Detroit. I think the reality is this. The Ford family has now chosen a coach in Matt Patricia that, like you mentioned, has 9 wins in 2 seasons. He came in as a defensive mind, and they're in the bottom third in basically every category last season when it comes to defensive football. And Darius Slay is a guy that, one, again, I was with. He's beloved in the locker room by his teammates. Number two, he leads the NFL. He leads the NFL in pass breakups since 2013. Number three, when you're a coach, you're supposed to figure out a way to build up your players. Every coach that I've ever been around that was worth something would always go, you know what? You will become who you spend your time with. So yes, go work out with Aqib Talib and Richard Sherman. Figure out how what has allowed them to play at such a high level and see if you can even become better. You don't talk like that to your players, let alone one of the players who's the best, one of the best players on your team. The Lions organization has an issue with their head coach, and that pains me to say because I root for them heavily.
Swagoo, what do you think?
Well, they're going to have an issue for a while because they just extended him. This is my – Gene, this is, you know this is – this drives me absolutely nuts, man, because a coach's job is to put a player in a position to be successful and, to Dan's point, also build those players up within your organization to get them to put out their best performances. Oh, and by the way, Darius Slay is elite. That is what his contract just determined. That's what his production just determined. So when you start having these conversations, when players come out and say these type of things about coaches, you know what that does around the league? I don't want to play for that guy. So than anything, Matt Patricia now has a stain on him for one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Yeah, it's disturbing. A lot of the Bill Belichick assistants tend to bring Bill Belichick's coaching style everywhere they go without his resume, and it doesn't usually work. Guys, stay with me. We're going to stay busy here all morning long. And today I will mention also that in the noon Eastern Sports Center, they're going to break down college basketball's greatest player of all time bracket. The West and East regions are up over the next 12 days. You, the fans, will be deciding which player moves on in each matchup by going to Sports Center on Instagram and Twitter to vote. The winners will be revealed during Sports Center starting tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. All right, as we continue, Todd Brady has a new home. Todd Gurley has a new home. What lessons do we learn about what we've seen in just the last few days? We've got those answers and more next. Get Up on ESPN.